From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is a show where every week we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective, which basically means finding that inner balance between body, mind, and spirit, that inner balance where you're taking everything into context and finding a greater level of peace because you're paying more attention consciously to the messages that are being communicated by your body, by your mind, and the spiritual messages that are coming through. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. The question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? And that's why we offer very intriguing topics each week, things that will help you grow and learn, things that will maybe challenge you, your belief systems, your social context, and whatever. And today we're going to be doing the same thing. And I remind you that this is a live show. And if you're listening and would like to call in with a question or a comment about today's topic, which I'll get to in a moment, the phone number is 480 in Phoenix area, 949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. And if you're listening via the Internet, which I know some of you are because some of you have called in the past from other cities around outside Phoenix, it's the same number. It's still a toll call, but well worth it to be on the air with us on the show and, you know, put your 2 cents in. And that number, again, is 480-949-1310. Now, today's topic is called Healthy Couples, which equals pre-commitment counseling and post-dissolution counseling. And we're going to be talking about ways, new ways for couples to maximize success before, during, and even after a commitment to a partner. And even as we're talking about the post-dissolution counseling, we're still talking about maintaining a commitment to yourself and your partner, basically by what I consider taking the higher road, learning how to do things so you have no regrets and maybe a sense of pride, and maintaining a friendship or at least an understanding with the person that you're leaving in terms of relationship. So a lot of people think, you know, it's like, gee, that sounds awfully crazy to go for counseling before you even find out you have any problems. Before we get married or move in together or whatever. And a lot of people probably who've been through divorce and separation and things like that, you know, would think that's crazy. There's no way I could have sat down with my partner and talked about any of this stuff. We were just so angry and still angry with each other. And that jerk and that other names that I can't say on the air, you know, things that go through our minds that make it quite unfathomable to think that you would sit down in a room with a third person and really be adults and be reasonable and get a chance to communicate what you need to communicate so that you can clear things up. Now, there's a quote from a writer named Jason Williams from Psychology Today, actually from about a year ago, the July-August edition of Psych Today from 2003. And what he says is, no one thinks it's weird that you have to get a driver's training to drive. And actually, he was quoting Jason Carroll, who's a PhD, associate professor of marriage, family, and human development at BYU. And the quote goes on and says, yet, for whatever reason, we don't see marriage, relationships, and parenting as areas we need to learn about. It is kind of strange if you think about it. While there's certainly a great growth in parenting classes and an awareness that, oh my God, I'm having a child and I don't know the first thing about this. And maybe the role modeling you got from your own parents were not the greatest, and you might be able to attest to that just based on your own struggles in life. It's the same thing with relationships. Sometimes we have not gotten the greatest role modeling. Sometimes we've gotten some very good tools, but partnered with the tools that whoever we're in relationship with has, it sometimes looks a little bit more like oil and water. So counseling and learning new ways of communicating can always be helpful in any environment, but it certainly is possible to maximize the success of the relationship, or at least the peace you're able to maintain during the course of the relationship. And that's basically what we're going to be talking about today with my guest, who I will introduce to you now. Her name is Holly Peterson. She's a marriage and family therapist and a PhD. And if you were listening a few weeks ago, we had on Victoria Simon, who is the partner and co-founder of a organization called Talk Works. And Holly is, Dr. Peterson, is the other half of that partnership. And Holly, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. It's great to be on the show.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about, well, actually, one of the things I didn't say to people that I really wanted to acknowledge is something I talked about in depth last week when I did the show on the legacy of the Woodstock generation, which is actually being a therapist that can take sociological, anthropological, and cultural issues and understand that that's part of the impact on our own human dynamics, our own personal dynamics, as well as what goes on in relationship. And when I was looking at your bio, it was kind of exciting to see that you're one of another few therapists that I know that actually studied extensively in sociology along with your marriage and family therapy studying. How have you found that to be a support for the type of work that you're doing?
I think it's been an incredible support, because I don't think you can really work with individuals or couples or families, or we also work with businesses, without understanding the larger cultural and social context that really shapes their experiences. And for instance, you know, sociology really teaches a lot about gender roles and different, and the impact of culture and economic position on our lives. And that's a context I'm always keeping in mind when I work with clients, and I think it can be really useful. You know, for instance, a couple comes in and understanding a little bit about the gender roles within their particular cultural context is going to help guide me in working with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's an invaluable piece of working with people in any context.
Yeah. Well, I definitely agree with you, and I've found it to be a real constructive part, and I think it's what makes me, you know, I'm grateful to the fact that I know it adds to what makes me a good therapist,
mm-hmm.
As well as a human being that's able to look at what's going on in the world and put it in a historical context and not just this is what's going on today. So,
right.
You know, it just gives us a broader picture. So let's get into relationships. It's not that I'm proposing to you, it's just what we're talking about today.
An important topic, yeah.
Okay. Now, in a greater sense of the word, you and I are in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're colleagues. That's a relationship. You're a guest on my show. That's another definition of relationship. And there's a certain level of communication that is important, a certain amount of respect that's important, a certain amount of questioning and listening and speaking that is important. And those skills come into play whenever I'm interviewing someone or whenever I'm having a conversation with somebody. That takes a whole different level when you're talking about the type of relationships that most people usually talk about when they're in relationships. And I know you mentioned corporate work that you do, mm-hmm. so you probably find similar stuff going on in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
But let's bring it down to, like, the personal relationships that occur when two people make a commitment, whether it is a marriage, whether it is cohabitating, whether it is, you know, only being able to be defined as domestic partnerships, whatever it is, mm-hmm. let's talk about the level of relationship that occurs when two people are emotionally, spiritually, and maybe even physically making a commitment to one another. Talk about what normally may go on and talk about why you feel, which I already know I agree, why it's beneficial to do some pre-commitment counseling, as you call it, before even moving further in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, an intimate relationship is obviously one where emotions are intensified and run much higher than most other types of relationships. So it's even more important to learn how to manage those emotions and learn the communication skills necessary to make sure that that relationship is going to be successful and to ensure that any problem, issue, event that comes up in the course of the relationship, because those are inevitable, the couple will be able to communicate about effectively. And what we do with pre-commitment couples is really, it's we call it skills training. And we really teach the couple the kind of skills, communication skills, conflict resolution skills necessary to prevent larger problems in their relationship. So it's important to do that at the beginning of making a commitment so that they enter into their relationship with a really strong foundation of skills and tools underneath them so that whatever happens in the relationship, and, you know, relationships take a lot of turns and there are a lot of ups and downs, that whatever happens, they have the tools and the skills necessary to communicate about it, resolve it, and even prevent any issues from becoming ultimately so big that they damage the relationship. It's a good preventative intervention for couples and a good way to make sure that they start with a strong foundation underneath them.
Now, some people may say, oh, we're so in love, we'll be able to cross those bridges when we come to them. And, you know, they're also possibly, because they're in that space, in denial about red flags that are very evident that they'll look back on later and say, I can't believe I didn't see that or I didn't want to look at that when it was coming up. So, you know, what do you say to those people who are in that romanticized place of denial? I mean, everybody could use a higher level of consciousness and skill development. What do you say to those people who are just in that romanticized place of what I'll call denial, not that there's anything wrong with romance?
Right. And, you know, I hate to be the one to burst the bubble, but what we tell people is that love is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if love were enough to keep relationships strong and going for long periods of time, we wouldn't have as many relationships struggling as we do. So what we do is we provide a lot of what we call reality education, which is, you know, the reality is that relationships do start out feeling so romantic and wonderful, and you're very much caught up in the newness of the relationship, and your most significant feeling about it is love and hope. But the reality is that things will come up along the way, and those feelings will be sort of pushed to the back of the relationship when other things surface or when you need to really get down to business and, you know, the daily requirements of life. And so we tell couples that love is certainly not enough. It's a great starting point. And what needs to happen with the love are some real skills, learning some real skills so that love and that those good feelings and the hopefulness, the optimism can be maintained and not eroded by conflicts that don't get resolved, by problems that don't get worked through. That the best way to keep that love going is to make sure that they have the skills necessary to deal with, you know, things that will come up.
Well, even when I see couples coming in, the first thing I try to identify is, does this couple still love each other? Is there still that foundation? Or was there ever that foundation where the hearts were truly connected, and it does that still exist? With that foundation, and sometimes it's as simple as asking them and helping them remember that they do still love each other, which is probably what got them into counseling in the first place. You know,
yeah.
they want to save something here because they're important to one another. So what other issues are addressed in pre-commitment counseling?
We encourage couples in our pre-commitment skills training to identify the topics, sort of the big life issues that haven't yet been discussed. We encourage them to have those discussions with us. And
like money and
money,
sex,
lifestyle, children,
right.
How they're going to integrate with in-laws and the larger, you know, family, extended family. We encourage couples, and we actually walk them through, you know, by teaching them specific communication tools, we have them have those discussions in our sessions. And the reason for that is because a lot of couples, like you said, are it's so romantic and they're so in love that they just either assume that those kinds of conflicts are not going to exist because they love each other so much, or they just think, oh, if we don't talk about them, you know, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, it'll work itself.
Right,
out.
And
yeah.
We really want to make sure that going into the relationship that all those kind of big life relationship issues are pretty clearly worked out, and they have a plan for how they're going to deal with them prior to making that final, that commitment to one another. So that's something we do with them as well. And we teach them how to have conflict. Again, we say,
not be afraid of it.
Absolutely, because what research shows and what we've found is that couples who don't engage in conflict and don't engage in discussion about important topics or even little topics become very disengaged. They lack intimacy. They're very emotionally detached from one another. And we want to keep this couple engaged and intimate. And the best way to do that is to have these discussions, even if it means a little bit of conflict.
Well, because basically what's happening, if they're not having the discussions, they're repressing most of it. And they are reacting to one another. And they are getting angry. And they are getting frustrated. And they are living in a state of fear. What if I say what I really feel here? And so detachment and the other things you mentioned become those defense mechanisms that, you know, cause people to start pulling apart.
Absolutely. And that's, like you mentioned earlier, I think that's when it can feel like this couple's no longer in love.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of that gets in the way. So we teach couples how to prevent that from happening.
Can you give, and I don't mean to put you on the spot with this, but can you give like an example of one of the tools or techniques that you might work with a couple if you feel it's appropriate to do that over the air?
Sure. One communication tool that we, well, there are many. One that we like to give to couples because we think it's a really effective one is what we call, it's kind of the basis of our work, it's called forward communication.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach couples how to, when they're communicating, focus on the present and how they want to move this discussion forward. So, for instance, if a couple's having an argument about maybe one of them not spending enough time with the other, instead of bringing up all the past examples of when that happens and all of the fights that have occurred in the past about it, to state what the problem is in the present, you know, I'm feeling really, you know, worried that we're not getting time together, and what I'd really like to see in the future is. So that's a tool that we really encourage couples to use, because what happens is during an argument or during a discussion about something difficult, people will kind of bring in the arsenal of complaints and all the evidence they have about how their partner is messing up, is a bad person, is whatever, and that just makes the partner defensive and either want to run away or want to attack. And so we really help couples to move forward.
So you wouldn't get into some of the more psychodynamic issues that go on between a couple,
no.
You know, like with the emotions, where why they're there or whatever. You're more or less a training ground for new skills and for moving past, so to speak, the history.
Exactly. And we really call what we do skills training rather than counseling. And it doesn't mean there's not a good place and room for couples to seek counseling. Counseling can be very useful.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is provide them with training. Like you said, we give them skills. So focusing on their past, focusing on their family histories, that's not something we do with them because we feel what's most important is they get the skills they need to move forward successfully in their relationship.
So that's the basic difference between the work that you're doing with a couple and what might be more traditional therapy or couples counseling.
Absolutely.
And do you work with clients who are also in counseling?
Yes, we do. And there are times when counseling, either individually or as a couple, is absolutely necessary or beneficial. You know, if someone has a history of trauma or abuse in their family of origin or is really working through depression, anxiety, you know, things like that, it's recommended that they be in their own counseling to help deal with those feelings and those experiences and memories and to work through them.
Mm-hmm.
We even refer couples or usually individuals into their own therapy if that feels appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, we think that that what we do as skills trainers and what therapists do really work well together. They complement each other very well.
How do you, totally a question that comes up for me that I think would be difficult for me to handle. If you're doing the skills training and some of these personal issues start coming up, how do you just get past that and stay with the focus of the skills training when there's historical and psychodynamic things wanting to push their way through in the context of the work you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
Yeah,
that would be difficult for me.
It's a good question. And,
yeah.
You know, I think we definitely acknowledge that something's getting in the way, and we may help the client label it or identify it. And what we do is really focus the client then on, okay, here's what's going on right now, and what do you want to be going on in the future, and how can we make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then what we may do is spend time with that one client alone, just exploring how therapy can be beneficial in maybe like reducing the anxiety or helping resolve any anger, you know, whatever the issue is. But we, you know, it's not that we ignore that stuff because you can't, as you mentioned. It's important to say, okay, well, it sounds like your experience in the past has been that during arguments, you've been very abused or you felt very abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
So in this relationship, let's think of ways to have a different experience of that.
Wow.
So to try to refocus them.
Uh-huh.
And again, it often helps for them to be in their own treatment. But we've been actually successful in being able to focus on the present and the future because I think people really want the skills to be able to move forward rather than to remain kind of stuck in old patterns that aren't working.
Right. Definitely. I know we've been talking a lot about the pre-commitment stuff. Are you finding, what's the trend that you're finding? Does it seem like there are more and more people seeking something like this how do people end up getting to you before they're going? I mean, one of the things that I do, I hate to be stuttering here, one of the things that I also do is I'm an ordained minister, so I also perform marriage and commitment ceremonies, and they're highlights to me. I mean, it is such an empowering and wonderful experience, and if it's a couple I know or don't know, I spend a number of hours getting to the root of why they're getting married and what this means to them so that I'm really personalizing the ceremony and really speaking to them and to their guests when I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a sense, being a therapist and being an officiant of these ceremonies, there is a certain degree of counseling because I actually give them assignments and I'm asking them to kind of go inside and start, you know, assessing some of what goes on, and they're usually most grateful for it. But what usually motivates people to seek out your organization and the work that you're doing? And is there a trend towards this in terms of greater numbers?
Mm-hmm. I absolutely think there's a trend. And I don't know if that's a reflection of a lot of research that's coming out right now about the effectiveness of doing some kind of pre-commitment skills training and counseling, or if it's maybe fear about the divorce rates and wanting to really prevent a divorce from occurring. And I think people seek us out in particular when they are maybe not part of a religious community or don't feel comfortable seeking marital counseling within a religious community environment, because as you mentioned, a lot of pastors and rabbis will provide counseling prior to marriage as sort of part of the spiritual practice.
Right.
And so we find that people who aren't part of those communities will seek us out. The other thing we are finding is that people who are really looking for something that's different than therapy, so they recognize, okay, we don't have any big emotional problems going on.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that we're on the right track. We have a few things that we need to talk about.
Is that usually, or is it more often with people who have been in marriages or other relationships previously and are saying, I don't want to make the same mistake. Let's lay a good foundation before we get started because I didn't do that in the past.
That, you know, I'd say it's about half and half, but that does motivate people to come in, certainly. Sometimes what can motivate someone is just that, okay, I haven't been married before, and all my other relationships ended so badly and had so many problems, I want to make sure that this doesn't happen in this one. The other thing I think people, why they seek us out as opposed to maybe another type of professionals, that our program is 3 sessions, 6 hours, so it's not going to require them to be working with us for months and months. It gives them kind of an intensive set of skills and knowledge that's not going to take up a lot of their time, which I think is, you know, for pre-commitment counseling, I think that that's very effective because you don't necessarily have these sort of long-standing issues that you might have when a couple comes in after being married, you know, 10, 15 years.
And do you do follow-up sometimes? I mean, do these couples maybe come back in 6 months just for kind of a tune-up or just for you to get a sense of how it went?
They certainly, we do follow them and want to know how they're doing, and they certainly can always come in for, you know, a follow-up session with us just to fine-tune or kind of reinforce what they've learned, just to let us know how things are going. Sometimes couples may have other things come up. You know, the whole process of, for instance, planning a wedding can be really stressful. Sometimes
yeah.
That will bring people in just for maybe there's a lot of disagreements about how to have the wedding. So absolutely, the 3 sessions is that's our program that we offer when we feel that that's pretty comprehensive, but it's also possible for couples to come in for follow-up.
Well, I think what we're going to do here, we're just going to keep talking straight through rather than taking a break since I don't have to sell any products here.
Okay.
Because sometimes what I do would be take a short break here, and I'd rather keep the momentum going here because we've talked about one side of the issue, the pre-commitment counseling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we lay a foundation that's, you know, helpful to what we're getting into? But I think what might be more astounding or just like unbelievable to people is that there are actually people that turn to somebody like you, not just like divorce mediation, but actually post-dissolution counseling in hopes of being able to resolve some of the things that they're not taking with them, a lot of rage and anger, that the things that needed to get communicated have been communicated, that they're feeling a bit more complete, that I would think that they're going to come away from, first of all, accepting the fact that the relationship didn't work. You know, what can we learn from this? How can I come away from this feeling a bit more proud of myself than guilty and regretful here? Talk about the, you know, why somebody would choose to go through revisiting these things and seek out this post-dissolution counseling with their partner.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, that, you know, breakups are one of the most painful experiences that we could go through.
Yeah.
And, you know, we often find ourselves, as you alluded to, behaving very badly during
mm-hmm.
them, and it feels almost out of our control. We're so angry, we're so hurt that, you know, the way we act toward our ex is just, it's not how we would normally act toward anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So it could certainly help the individuals breaking up gain some control. The other thing is, the reality is a couple breaking up still has to communicate, especially if they, you know, share property, especially if they have children, especially if there are logistics that need to be worked through. I mean, it's just walking away from a relationship. Sure, it happens, but it's difficult without having those final conversations about, you know, how you're going to divide up your lives after you break up. So
mm-hmm.
people would seek us out who know that they need to have these discussions but are having a great deal of difficulty doing so without a third party there. And things are getting ugly, maybe. The emotions are getting in the way of really being able to separate in a way that's at least as healthy as it can be. And it's actually such a good time to seek assistance, and it's often a time when people don't. And our goal in working with couples in that process is to help them to walk away from the relationship with as much dignity and, as you said, pride and good feelings intact as possible, and to hopefully be able to learn something. And so, again, we give a lot of instruction about how to have even the most difficult conversations and disengage from the emotions that may be escalating whatever conflicts are going on, or keeping the two enmeshed rather than really starting to pull apart. So it's really invaluable if the breakup has been very, very difficult.
But Holly, it seems so inconsistent that somebody going through something like that would have the ability to be conscious enough to say to their partner, let's go for post-dissolution counseling and see what we can do here to maintain it. So how do people get to you for this, and what kind of people do you usually see for this?
Well, you know what happens often is that there's one person in the relationship that may be really wanting to do things better in terms of the breakup, and maybe the other person is having more difficulty with that. So what we find is that people get to us because one member of the, you know, the dissolving couple has had it. They know that there needs to be a discussion about, you know, the financial issues, or about, you know, how they're going to divide up the, what they're going to do about the pets they have together, or the children, or, and yet can't seem to get through to the other person because they're so angry, you know, hostile, or just emotionally withdrawn, or whatever. So frequently there's one person who, in spite of the pain and all of that, can see, okay, we need some help. Sometimes it's a divorce attorney will make a referral because during the process it's clear that the emotions are just getting in the way, and this couple is not able to communicate about basic things even through the attorneys. Sometimes it's a divorce mediator who makes the referral. So sometimes it's an outside party who sees, okay, this isn't going to work, and you need all the assistance that you can get. Otherwise, this is going to destroy your lives, and it doesn't need to. But you're right. I mean, there are a lot of couples out there who do this sort of silently and don't seek out the assistance. And I'm sure that if they had the assistance, it would be at least a little bit easier.
Well, again, you said earlier that one of the reasons some people get into pre-commitment counseling is so that they don't repeat the same issues again in this relationship and sabotage it like they have in past relationships. I would think that the post-dissolution counseling would be something similar, to try and, you know, if you've been through this before or you haven't been through it and you don't really know how to do it, at least then you're reaching a different level of closure on the relationship, a different sense of integrity and pride in how you walk through this, and you're less likely to carry a lot of the same baggage into the next relationship because you're just more conscious when you do something like this, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's very true.
Now, what kind of actual, I mean, you talked before about the forward communication with the pre-commitment couples. What are some of the specifics that you might be doing in terms of a tool or technique with people who are actually on their way out of that committed relationship?
We teach actually a lot of the same types of communication tools because those work in really any kinds of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we do is we really help the couple to identify what their common goal or common ground is. I mean, here's this couple who they feel like they can't agree on anything, and there's so much hurt, and we help them to identify, okay, what's one thing that you two share? And maybe that is as simple as to get, you know, away from each other and begin their lives without each other. And keeping them focused on whatever their goal is and setting goals. Okay, so the goal is to resolve the issue about the pets. The goal is to resolve the issue about the shared bank account. And to identify goals rather than focus on problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's one tool that we do. We also give them a lot of conflict resolution techniques, which are just very simple but are easy to forget when you're in the moment. We try to really reinforce these and using them, and we have them use them a lot in session with us. We have them have the conversations in session with us. And, you know, one is, other than identifying the common ground that they have or the common goal, is asking a lot of questions. So in order to get out of their position of, okay, I'm gonna present my position and then attack, and no matter what, I'm going to defend my position, we encourage them to sort of take a step outside of that position and ask questions of their partner, their ex-partner. We call it getting curious
mm-hmm.
about where their partner is coming from. So, for instance, if the conflict is about the pets, and I keep bringing this up because it's a common conflict, you know, to really ask questions about, okay, so, you know, tell me more about why it is that you want to have the dogs
mm-hmm.
and what's important about that, and how would it make you feel for the dogs to not get to see me? And so instead of constantly, you know, coming back with their position, to find out more about what's going on with the other person that might be motivating their decision or their position on the matter.
In other words, it's really helping them be willing to let go of their position.
Yes.
And stop making this a win-lose situation.
Absolutely.
Okay, because that's the way I think most people approach most relationships. You know, who won this round, you know?
Exactly.
And even in divorce or dissolution, you know, procedures, people still go into it with this, okay, what can I do so I win here?
That's such a common mm-hmm. way of looking at it. And what we try to tell people is that if, as long as you hold on to that attitude, no one wins.
Right.
You will not win.
Mm-hmm.
Winning is getting the issue resolved, so that you can both walk away from this with your, like I said, your dignity intact and as many good feelings intact as possible. So, yeah, really trying to change people's perspective on what is a win? What does that mean?
Right. And to me, the whole point of this show, Telling the Truth Faster, to me, that's where the win comes in. And that seems to me what you're teaching people how to do. You're teaching people how to speak their truth.
Absolutely.
And how to listen to what the truth of the other individual that they're dealing with is, instead of making assumptions.
Yeah.
And instead of closing their minds and ears and, withdrawing from it, so that, you know, communication is about telling the truth faster.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely very much in line with what we do.
Yeah. Now, there is, from what I gather, another great benefit to both of the pre-commitment counseling and the post-dissolution counseling. And to me, it's also aligned with my own philosophy of a more holistic approach, because when you take conflict, like we're talking about, or confusion, or the fear of getting into a relationship or leaving a relationship, and you actually get to a place where nobody's in positions, everybody's kind of listening to one another, there are a few things that start going on. Number one, you start being an incredible example to whatever kids may be in the mm-hmm. picture, and to what other family and friends that probably are usually in awe that they actually knew somebody that went into a relationship or got out of a relationship and took the high road, and
mm-hmm.
that both of them did it, and they did it together. So the one thing, you're setting yourself up as role modeling for the kids in the picture, and maybe even for the very dysfunctional family patterns that aren't used to seeing someone in their own family behave like this.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We definitely need more good role models, especially for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, and this is something that comes through in almost every topic I do on the show, which has to do with body-mind-spirit connection. when you are resolving something and letting go of the fear and the blocks and the defensiveness and everything else, there's a greater sense of balance inside you, which promotes a greater sense of health, self-esteem, inner peace, all those sort of things, so that you're actually moving on more of a light being.
Mm-hmm.
That you actually are not, literally not carrying the baggage with you when you leave it, and not dealing with residue rage that may get triggered by other things in the future and other relationships in the future. So actually, doing this kind of work is actually good for your health.
It absolutely
is. Not just your mental health.
Yeah, it's very true.
Mm-hmm. Now, talk a little bit. I mean, we have about 10 minutes left here, and I want to make sure that we talk a little bit more about TalkWorks. And I know that you have a website, which is ourtalkworks.com. That's OurTalkWorks, ourtalkworks.com. Or if they just do a show search for TalkWorks, I'm sure they get to your website.
Yeah.
But you describe a lot of the services, frequently asked questions, testimonials on there, more about you and Victoria. But how can, what if somebody doesn't live geographically in your area, which I know is the Los Angeles area?
Well, we, especially for the work we do with businesses and corporations, we do travel and do trainings for companies at their site or maybe an off-site. Sometimes companies have like a retreat or a training in a different location. We can certainly work with people by phone.
Kind of like coaches do.
Similar. We can do training. Our skills training, some of it over the phone.
Okay.
Now,
you also mentioned that this is a very time-limited process. So is it, do some people come from out of town, stay in a hotel, and do the sessions with you and then leave?
Absolutely. It's because it's so time-limited, it certainly works well for that. I mean, we usually, like I mentioned, the programs we have are 3 sessions, 2 hours each, and we like to have those in consecutive weeks. But there are ways to set up those meetings so that they're closer. There's less time between each meeting. So we are very much able and willing to work with people outside of the L.A. area.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever do, like, workshops in other cities where you're actually going there and doing some of this in a group setting?
We haven't done, the types of workshops we've done have been not necessarily, they've been for other professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of working with clients in a group setting, that's something we will do in the future and we haven't done yet.
Which is actually how I met you and Victoria, because
that's
I was
right.
So overly impressed, not overly, but way impressed with the both of you and what you were presenting that I immediately asked, you know, both of you to be on the show, because you were doing a training for other colleagues.
Yes.
What else do you want people to know if that we haven't discussed at this point, either about TalkWorks or about the process itself?
Well, we do also do trainings. We do trainings for businesses and corporations, as I mentioned. We do trainings on communication and conflict resolution skills, and we also do trainings on collaborative team building, because that's definitely necessary within a business or corporate environment where you work on projects or the goals of the company as part of a team. So we have half-day trainings and full-day trainings where we teach the employees and, you know, either the management or administrative on down to really be able to work as a team and use communication and conflict resolution skills that are going to increase their productivity and reduce any kind of workplace conflicts. So we do that. We really, our philosophy is that strong communication skills will make such a difference in people's lives, in relationships they have at home, in relationships they have in the workplace, that communication is really the basis for relationships. And that's our focus, and that's our goal when working with people, is to help them develop new and better ways of communicating.
Well, you also use the word commitment, mm-hmm. pre-commitment, post-dissolution of the commitment. And, you know, as we're talking, it occurs to me that the commitment is the cornerstone of what we're talking about here, and that post-dissolution counseling is not necessarily really dissolving the commitment, because the nature of going into post-dissolution counseling is still speaking to the fact that these two individuals have a commitment to one another and to one another's well-being as well as their own, or they wouldn't be sitting in a room trying to figure all this stuff out.
Absolutely. It's a way of honoring the commitment that they made earlier in their relationship, and that commitment is really to be at the very sort of very fundamentally to be kind to one another and to be respectful. So it is a way to honor that early commitment, even if they've decided to go their separate ways.
Well, it's also about commitment to integrity.
Absolutely.
I think, because it's like when you're actually sitting in a room with someone that you realize this is not the person I want to live the rest of my life with, or can live the rest of my life with, that, you know what, I also don't want to hurt this person, and I don't want to leave here with a lot of pain and destructive things inside me. And so it really is about integrity to yourself as well as to another human being. And
yes.
Rather than seeing that other human being as this horrible human being, although sometimes that may have been the case, you know, if there's been a lot of violence and things like that, that you're still saying, I want to take the high road. I want to feel better when I leave this and not just get revenge.
Right. You're right. It's a commitment to yourself.
Right.
A commitment to ensure that you are doing what's best for you, and ultimately treating other people well is a way to ensure that you're treating yourself well.
So when you're talking about, which is our ultimate commitment is our commitment to our own being and our own level of integrity and how we feel about ourselves when we walk through this world, we're talking about a commitment that there is no pre and post to.
Yeah.
We're talking about the commitment to ourselves that we have, whether we like it or not, throughout, from the moment we're conceived through the moment of death, and that it's our responsibility on a personal level to make sure we're doing the best possible and healthy things for ourselves mentally, emotionally, and spiritually throughout that journey.
Exactly.
So,
mm-hmm.
We do have a couple of minutes left. Can you tell us about a success story? In terms of a couple that's either come for pre-commitment or some of the testimonials you've gotten on the post-dissolution counseling?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of which story to share with you.
Obviously, change the names to protect confidentiality.
We had a couple. This is a pre-commitment story. They came in. One of them had been married before, the woman, and the man had not been married. And they were coming in. They found us through kind of a friend who knew about us. And I think their major motivation for coming in was making sure, especially the woman who had been married before, making sure that this relationship doesn't have the same problems that her first marriage had. They also were coming in because they were having some conflict around financial issues. They did not spend money in the same ways. She was a little more free with her spending of money, and he was much more frugal and wanted to save. And so over the course of participating in the program, we really started to get underneath, and we do this tool called Getting to the Unspoken Truth, or Saying Your Unspoken Truth, which is very similar to kind of the theme of your show.
Right, exactly.
We had the male partner get curious about why she was so interested in spending almost every dollar that came in. And he learned about kind of her experience of early kind of deprivation and her, the way that this felt for her, that she could have, she could give herself whatever she needed, that she wasn't deprived. And she also got to explore, we encouraged her to ask questions about his unspoken truth, about what this felt like to him. And for him, it felt like she, like they weren't going to accomplish their dreams and goals together. And he felt concerned that she didn't share those dreams and goals and felt like she was sabotaging them. So once they really got to each other's unspoken truth and could have empathy for one another and really kind of get a handle on why the other wanted, you know, why he wanted to save money and why she wanted to spend money, they were able to get closer in terms of how they treated their income. And it really was a success story because that was causing them a lot of conflict in their relationship to the point where they felt concerned about getting married.
And it's a really good example about what we usually say is the most important thing, the most difficult things people can talk about in a relationship is sex and money.
Yeah, right.
You know, cause it's like we're all afraid we're going to be stepping on toes or we're not deserving or whatever the issues are, whatever family patterns we bring into it, you know, it's usually something that's hush-hush. We don't talk about your income and we don't talk about what we want in bed and what pleases us and we don't talk about sex because it's dirty.
Exactly,
you know, so
right.
Be able to develop communication skills around those things is something that I'm often doing with couples in relationship also. So
it's so important. And this, you know, this topic would have continued to haunt them even, you know, after getting married or may have even prevented them from getting married. They did end up getting married. And it was so important for them to have these big kind of issue topics, the conversations prior to making that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really, it also, being able to work through that issue has enabled them to feel more confident about working through any other issues that come up.
Right.
And they gained more information about each other than they ever knew. They really didn't even know that they didn't know this stuff about each other.
Exactly. Yeah, I understand that one. We're going to close here soon. I really, really want to thank you, Holly Peterson, for being on the show. And I remind people that they can get in touch with her two ways. They can go directly to her website, ourtalkworks.com, or you could go to my website for the show, tellthetruthfaster.com. You can email me, and I'll make sure it gets passed on to her. And there is a hyperlink on the on my website to Holly and Victoria Simon's website, talkworks.com, and so you can reach them either way. If you want to listen to the show again or want someone else to hear it in about a week or two, it will be archived along with about 100 other shows I've done over the last 3 years. You can listen to any show, any topic, free of charge. Just go to the website, tellthetruthfaster.com, and click on archives, and you know, Victoria's show from a few weeks ago, and you'll be able to listen to Holly's show in about a week or two when it's up there. And if you have comments or questions, as I sometimes get emails from people who were too shy to call in or who listened to the show on the archive and had some comments, it's always welcomed. Even if you disagree with what I'm saying, it's always welcomed here. So, Holly, again, thank you so much for taking your time on a Saturday.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
And I really want to invite you all to tell your friends about the show. It's on every Saturday from 1 to 2 in the afternoon on KXAM in Phoenix. That's 1310 KXAM. And have a great weekend. Enjoy the closing ceremonies of the Olympics tomorrow. And I'll be with you next week again. This is